Was he opportunist or was he principled? Was he opportunist or was he principled? I want to say that if we are not principled, we'll end up becoming opportunists. If we are not principled, we will end up becoming opportunist. We don't want to be opportunist. I don't like to be called opportunist, but if I don't follow principles, I will end up being an opportunist. That's what exactly Pilate, he became an opportunist. He got threatened when they said, if you don't crucify Jesus, we'll complain about you to Emperor Tiberius. Already there was a pressure. And he thought, oh my goodness, if they complain about me, I lose my throne. So for the sake of his throne, he signed the death warrant. And so he became an opportunist. Okay? Some fellow had declared to the people that he has found some vessels used by Moses and they're hiding, and these were found in Mount Gerizim. So the religiously minded Samaritans came armed and gathered in a village called Tirbatha. But some distorted news reached Pilate that people are gathering together in arms. He did not know what they were gathering for, so he sent his pack of soldiers and he got all of them slaughtered. But these people who got slaughtered, they went to the consul general above Pilate and complained to him that this is what happened. We were going to this place to find out, and Pilate ordered the execution of all of us. At this point of time, the guy above him, his name is Vitellius, he ordered Pilate to lay down his office and report before Emperor Tiberius and answer the complaint against him. And a man called Marcellus replaced Pilate in Judea. But before Pilate reached Rome, Tiberius died. And because Tiberius died, the new emperor kept Pilate waiting for his appointment. Pilate was supposed to see the king and the emperor, but the emperor kept him waiting. A new fellow was taken over and he's busy with other things, so Pilate was kept waiting. So Pilate's case was held in abeyance and abeyance and abeyance, and Pilate was daily being tortured by the memories of what he had done and all the horrible mistakes he had done. The conscience was all the time troubling him all the time. And so one of the days, he did not know what to do. His conscience was bothering him so much, at one point of time he committed suicide. And the legend says, and I quote again, it's a legend that says that, which is, means it's not a verified truth, that Pilate committed suicide, that is true, he committed suicide, but Pilate's body was buried in a pit near a lake in Lausanne. But the legend says, people often see a figure of a man coming out of the pit and going to the lake and washing his hands. Anybody remember Macbeth? Story of Macbeth, the Lady Macbeth who killed the good king before them, but she always felt there was blood on her hand and she kept on washing her hands. You know, your conscience will always trouble you. Always trouble you. I remember seeing a small cartoon of an elephant who had grown a watermelon, and it was a beautiful watermelon. People were coming from the jungle to see this watermelon, and then at that point of time one young bear came, and the bear liked the watermelon very much. And he was so tempted. Elephant was his good friend. But he looked at the watermelon, and when elephant was busy with something, he stole the watermelon, ran away the watermelon and ate it. But as he plucked the watermelon running away, one frog saw it. And as he was running away, the frog kind of jumped behind it, and the frog began to croak, "You did it. You did it. You did it. You did it." And so to run away from the frog, he went on running ahead, but the frog kept leaping and kept on saying, "You did it. You did it. And did it." So he went on top of a tree and to sleep over there. But later on he found so many frogs came, and all of them in a simultaneous voice, "You did it, you did it, you did it," is a huge voice. And he tried to stop his ears, but "You did it, you did it, you did it," and he could not quench, and he kept on disturbing. Finally got fed up and he could not get sleep for days. He got down from the tree, went straight to the elephant and said, "I want to confess, I stole your watermelon and I ate it." And elephant said, "Oh, I was saving it for you only. Good, you ate it." And I, bear said, "What a foolish man." But the moment he confessed, he found all the frogs disappeared. But this cartoon tells me that sometimes there are frogs in our lives, and they always say, "Did it? You did it. You did it. You did it." Our conscience troubles us, makes us keep washing hands. It is better to confess and get out of the whole system. And so this is the story of Pilate. And now, imagine if Pilate had a second chance. What would he do? If Pilate had a second chance. If I were to call on Pilate, "Pilate, what would you do? What do you think he might do?" The unfortunate thing is Pilate doesn't have a second chance. What do we have? These things happen to them that they can serve as examples. We still have a chance. We don't have to get up from the pit and go on washing our hands in the Lake Lausanne. That will be said. The Pharisees who plotted against Jesus, that Pharisees as a sect became ultra-legalist, and by the end of the first century were wiped out completely. They didn't exist at all. The nation of Israel, we said, let his blood be upon us and upon our children till today's suffering. Every day in the newspaper, if you read carefully, if you get a world news, you'll always find the Hamas is blowing a bomb, or somebody is killing, somebody is shot, somebody is there. They will never find peace because they have exchanged the Prince of Peace in order to invite Barabbas. Release Barabbas. And so Barabbas is still ruling as it were in Israel. And Israel will continue to have this problem until Israel says, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And perhaps if we have exchanged Jesus, Son of God, for Son of the Devil, it's time we really repent and get back to him. Pilate's wife, Claudia Procula, about whom I said I'd tell you later, it seems according to Greek Orthodox Church, she became a Christian eventually, and they remember her on October 27th every year and call it the Saint Claudia's Day. We call it the Saint Claudia's Day. In other words, she is still remembered all the time. As far as Jesus is concerned, who was falsely accused, falsely crucified, falsely charged, falsely lacerated, falsely he was put on the cross, and yet he died, but he says he rose again on the third day, he ascended on high, and is seated at the right hand of God the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. And my question is, as I conclude, and this is a reflective question, do you feel any trace of Pilate inside you? Good intentions, but poor actions. Thinking you are in power, but really you are a puppet. Puppet to your own emotions, puppet to your own fleshly desires, puppet to your own addictions, puppet to popular opinion, puppet to your career, puppet to your job, puppet to your salary, puppet to your other commitments, thinking you are in power. Ah, it is all right. But you have already made, exchanged your soul. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? You begin to sell Jesus for 30 shekels of silver. Is there every day when you're deciding the fate of Jesus, but in the bargain your own fate is being decided? Are you sometimes simply arguing and asking questions? Are you really seeking the truth? Are you really pressing on in the things of God? And are you principled? If not, you're already an opportunist. That is a tragedy. Perhaps you may see traces of Pilate inside you, perhaps not, but perhaps you can see traces of Phariseeism inside you. Perhaps you see yourself as a crowd which was manipulated by the Pharisees, and you find yourself swaying to and fro, one day going this way, another day going this way, because you're carrying by the popular opinion, you're not grounded in the Word of God, and don't have a perfect clear understanding of God's principles in your life. And you decide by what happens on the spur of the moment, not controlled by the faith and the principles, but controlled by something else. What would be your response to the case of Jesus? If godly principles are important, then how would you train yourself daily? How would you train yourself in feeding on the Word of God? How do you train yourself? It says foundations are not built for every day. Foundations are built for storm. So when the storm comes, that's not the time to build foundation. Build foundation now. An army is trained in the peacetime, so when the war is declared, they can fight. When the war is declared, you don't go for training army. They're already trained. But now is the time to train. Now is the time to make choices. Now is the time to shift priorities. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things will be added to you. We need to decide, is Jesus, is his kingdom, and is his righteousness my top priority? If it is not, then I'm afraid something else is already taken. If he's in second place, Jesus doesn't like him in second place. He goes out. So don't fool ourselves by saying, I think Jesus is in the second place. He's not in the second place. He's either first, he's not the Lord of all, then he's not Lord at all. And that would be a tragedy. Is your heart free from any clutter or mixed motive and did not obscure your judgment on any matter. And finally, if you were to take a decision today, what would be the decision? In the previous session, I said to you about procrastination. We did it in a humorous way, but you also said in the procrastinator also has good intentions, but never able to put a date and schedule and plan. What he thinks he should be doing, he's not able to do. And what he does not want to do, he ends up doing. Now, same thing applies to Pilate. It's a continuation of the first message to say good intentions, but poor right actions. Bible says about James. James says, "You show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by my works." And therefore, our works will show our faith. Faith is not belief, but faith is action. He says, "Do you believe in the Lord?" He says, "Good. Satan also believes." And Vic Liddell always says, "What do you think if on your tombstone it was written, 'Here is a man who believed in everything Satan believed in'? Is there a good epitaph or a tragic epitaph? Believing what said, Satan doesn't know anything about what he believes, and so that would be a tragedy. If you believe the right things but don't have right action, it is useless. And I pray that if there is any way Spirit of God has spoken to you, brought conviction, that you would be willing to take some correct decisions today, right now, not tomorrow, right now. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Tomorrow you may call in vain." Let's bow our heads. By the grace of God, we still have a second choice. Pilate has missed it, but we have a second choice. Peter had a second choice. Jonah had a second choice. Moses had a second choice. David had a second choice. And these people embraced the truth at the second choice. If you don't embrace the truth now, our hearts will become that much hardened. Just focus on what we have spoken so far and see if God throws His searchlight onto any areas of our life. Offer your heart. Say, as David says, "Search me, O God. Search my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me. And cleanse me from all sin. Search my heart, O God. Search my heart, O God. Change my heart, O God.
Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you.
Change my heart, O God.
Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be you.
You are the potter.
You are the potter. I am the clay. Mold me. This is what I pray. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you.
Let's sing it again as a prayer unto Jesus.
Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O Lord. May I be like you.
You are the potter.
You are the potter. Mold me and make me. This is what I pray. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you.
I want to sing this song once more, last time, and after that I will pray. But maybe it is an opportunity to take a stand for Jesus. If you think God has placed his finger on any area of your heart and you feel, yes Lord, I am guilty on this area, and I am making a decision, and I want to make a public decision that I am making a shift today, I have resolved this day that I want to take action, I don't want to procrastinate, I see traces of Pilate in me, I see traces of the mob mentality in me, I see traces of being an opportunist. And Lord, I ask you that you forgive me and change my heart. Make my heart free of clutter. My heart is fixed with other priorities. Lord, I ask you that you change my heart. If that is your expression, then as we sing this song, maybe you want to just stand up, and then I'll close in prayer after we sing through this song once. Change my heart, O Lord.
Change my heart, O Lord. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O Lord. May I be like you.
Change my heart, O Lord.
Change my heart, O Lord. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O Lord. May I be like you.
You are the potter.
You are the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me. This is what I pray.
Change my heart, O Lord.
Change my heart, O Lord. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O Lord. May I be like you. May I be like you. May I be like you.
Father, that's the prayer of our heart. We stand guilty, Lord. We stand convicted. We have many good intentions and we have deceived ourselves. Your word says heart is desperately wicked. And Lord, it has got cluttered with many things. And we confess that today, Lord. But it's our desire this evening, Lord, even as you have given us a second chance, we thank you for the second chance. We say, Lord, have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us according to your unfailing love, according to your great, great compassion. Blot out all our sins and iniquities. Enable us to start all over again. And we pledge this evening, Lord, to start all over again. The things that you want us to do, we want to do that. That our mind is cluttered with earthly things, but you have said, fix your eyes above. And we want to fix our eyes upon the things in heaven. We want to think of eternity. We want to think about what is going to be the life with you. And I pray that the agendas of this earth will grow strangely dim as we get occupied with the eternal realm. Pray, Lord, we will be impregnated with that eternal realm. It will decide all our actions, all our priorities. I pray that the really things that you want us to do, we want to do those things, Lord. And we pledge ourselves to do that. And yet, Lord, we confess ourselves to be weak people. And so ask you for the strength. Your word says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So, Lord, O Lord Jesus, we ask upon your strength to enable us to fulfill and carry out what we have just now declared. Enable us, Lord, to keep our focus always upon us, always upon you, that our life will not be shifted here and there, but upon you and you alone. Help us, we pray. Guide our steps, Lord. Constantly, Lord, help us to search our hearts. Let your searchlight be put into our hearts and see any time there is any wicked way in us. Forgive us, cleanse us, and enable us to walk in newness of life. Help us, we pray. Pray this in Jesus' name. Now may the love of God the Father, and may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship and the constant reminder of the Holy Ghost remain with us now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Thank you.